Hello, and welcome to this half hour with Rowlett's Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rowlett's. I'd like to invite you and your family to come join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our Sunday school program, or every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for our worship service, or maybe you could come join us at 7 p.m. on Wednesday evenings for our weekly Bible study. We thank God for the opportunity to be able to open His Word, and we're just so happy to be involved in our community, and we're so happy with the way that God is blessing. And I'll tell you, here at Rowlett's, I've been challenged this week. I've had something move in my heart, and I heard a great, great sermon by one of my favorite speakers just last week, and he said something that really made my mind begin to consider a lot of the things of God. He said, I'd made an opening statement. We had this man come in to preach for us, and I made the opening statement that I desired to see Rowlett's Baptist Church be able to make better husbands and better wives, better sons, better daughters, you know, through Christ. And he said something that sort of really, it struck me in my heart, and it made me really consider. And he said, all those things, better husbands, better wives, being better sons and daughters, brothers, sisters, all the things that deal with humanity itself are involved with bettering yourself as a believer first. For you see, discipleship, believing, becoming a deeper and more profound Christian will develop all these other areas of our lives to exponentially. I mean, more than we could ever hope. And so it's with that prayer that I just continue to serve the Lord, and we continue to thank God so much for the great blessings that He's pouring out upon us. And the greatest blessing of all, friends, listen, Jesus came to die for our sins. And not only did He die and atone for our sins, but He was resurrected again so that we serve now a living God. And I'm so glad to be able to report that to you today. If I could, I'd like to take just a moment to wish happy birthday to some folks today of all days. We are wishing happy birthday to Brother Arnold Brown, one of the deacons here at Rowlett's. Happy birthday, Brother Arnold. Miss Anita Richardson, happy birthday, Miss Anita. We love you very much. Also, tomorrow, Friday the 15th, Mr. David Barber is celebrating a birthday. Happy birthday, David. We know Monday the 18th, Miss Sue Underwood will be celebrating a birthday, and Miss Rhonda Wilson the day after that on Tuesday the 19th. And we thank God for all these wonderful people that God's put in our lives. Also want to wish happy anniversary to my dear wife. I believe we've been married for 16 years on Friday the 15th. And I know that was a life-changing event for me. And I got to warn all you guys out there, be careful when you date these little Baptist girls, because if you're not careful, what will happen to you happen to me. And you'll end up getting saved and being called to preach. But I thank God for it. One of the greatest things ever happened to me in my life is God put her in my life. And so I want to share with you something I shared recently that I feel like really needs to be shared again. It's something that might touch on maybe the men a little more than the women, but it definitely has a message for each and every one of us, because God's Word, as I've often said, is a living Word. And it can apply to you no matter where you're at in your life, no matter what your circumstances are and how it's going for you in this moment. God's Word has something for you in it, and I thank God for that. And I want to share with you out of 2 Samuel chapter 10. And we're going to look at the first 12 verses. We're going to look very closely at those, and we're going to see what God has in store for us there. And I certainly hope there's something in this that touches your life. But if you would, if you're able to right now, I want to open with just a slow word of prayer, just a quiet word of prayer that God might bless this word as we share together in 2 Samuel chapter 10 in the first 12 verses. Father God, we just come before You right now. Lord, I pray that You might bless this word as it goes out. Father, I thank You for the promises that You've told us, that Your word, when it does leave out, will not be voided, but it'll return to You with great interest. And so, Father, I pray that even now You may bless it. Thank You, dear God, for the Holy Spirit that moves upon the hearts of all men. And we thank You for that today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now let me share this with you from this wonderful Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 10. The Bible says, "It happened after this that the king of the people of Ammon died, and Hanun his son reigned in his place. Then David said, this is speaking of King David, and you know very well in the Old Testament, writer of so many Psalms, the first great king of Israel, second king of Israel, but the first really great godly king. David said, now there verse 2 now, I will show kindness to Hanan, the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness to me. So David sent by the hand of his servants to comfort him concerning his father. And David's servants came into the land of the people of Ammon. And the princes of the people of Ammon said to Hanan, their lord, do you think that David really honors your father because he has sent comforters to you? Has David not rather sent his servants to you to search the city and to spy it out and to overthrow it? Therefore Hanan took David's servants, shaved off half their beards, cut off their garments in the middle at their buttocks, and sent them away. Now verse 5, when they told David, he sent to meet them because they were greatly ashamed. And the king said, wait at Jericho until your beards have grown and then return. Now verse 6, when the people of Ammon saw that they had made themselves repulsive to David, the people of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Beth Rehob and the Syrians of Zobah 20,000 foot soldiers, and from the king of Machah 1,000 men, and from Ishtob 12,000 men. Now when David had heard of it, he sent Joab and all the army of the mighty men. Then the people of Ammon came out and put themselves in battle array at the entrance of the gate. And the Syrians of Zobah, Beth Rehob, and Ishtob, and Mekah were all by themselves in the field. When Joab saw that the battle line was against him before and behind, he chose some of Israel's best and put them in battle array against the Syrians. And when the rest of the people he put under the command of Abishai, his brother, that he might set them in battle array against the people of Ammon. Then he said, if the Syrians are too strong for me, then you shall help me. But if the people of Ammon are too strong for you, then I will come and help you. Now that's verse 11. I want us to stop right there, and we're going to continue. We're going to share verse 12 in just a moment, but that's really going to be our focal verse, and I don't want to read that now and have it slip from your memory. I want to kind of explain to you what's going on right here in this story, right here in this set of scripture that I love so dearly. You see, King David had heard of the death of one of his neighboring countries there. The king of Ammon had died. Now, Ammon, the king's name was Nahash, and Nahash now had a son named Hanan. Now, Hanan was a very brash young man. He was a man that wasn't given over to listening to the elders of that land. As a matter of fact, he would have probably been a young man that would have listened to his peers instead of those who had more wisdom. I'm reminded of a story about the son of Solomon who listened to his peers over the elders, and it caused Israel to have their first great civil war and caused the split of that great country. I want to admonish you to always listen, even though it may not seem at the time to be in the best of things or in the best of ways, but I want to admonish you to listen to the wiser people around you. Don't always take for granted that what your peers are saying is what's going to be the best, but I want you to be able to listen to the elders of your church family. Listen to those that have been through those things. Listen to those that have the experience and the knowledge, and I want you to be able to draw upon their great wealth of wisdom and let it enrich your life, or let it nourish you. Base your decisions not on what seems right at the time, but what on others can tell you about the good knowledge and the things that God has taken them through. It's through grace that those people have mastered many things in our lives that us as younger people will struggle with, and it would be foolishness of the utmost in order for us not to lean upon the understanding of our elders that have fought the battles that you and I are going to face. Hanan made a grave error in this set of scripture. You see, David, when he heard of the death of Hanan's father Nahash, he sent some of his servants to comfort him concerning his father. Now, we don't know the exact occasion when that Nahash may have shown kindness to David, but we do know that it was a kindness that David remembered. In that, I find another application of the scripture, that you and I, as Christians, should be grateful for the kindness that's been showed to us in the past. Now, I know you may be fond of the membership where you hold, You may be very fond of the church members that you go to church with, but there's no doubt in my mind there are others out there in congregations and maybe even other denominations, maybe of no denomination at all, but there have been people in your lives who, just because they heard you were trying to clean up your act and do right as a Christian, they showed you a great kindness. I want to encourage you not to allow that kindness to go forgotten. I want to encourage you not to allow that kindness to slip down the stream, but show comfort to those folks. There's going to come a time in your life when you're going to be able to show comfort to that person. And it would be a shame, an awful, awful shame for you to allow a chance to be able to show kindness to somebody else who's shown kindness to you. David did not make that mistake. David found that he must send comfort to those people. And so as these servants of David made their way into the land, the princes of the people of Ammon said to Hanun, who had just become their leader, "Do you think that David really honors your father because he sent comforters to you?" Now that says something to my heart. So often, when you begin to do right, so often when you begin to do the right things and you begin to want to comfort people around you, you're going to find that there will be whisperers and murmurers in the background of your life that are going to be attempting to tell others that what you're doing it for all the wrong reasons. That you haven't really changed your ways, that you haven't really corrected your path, that you've not really allowed God to shine the light of His love upon your heart and make a life-changing event. And they're going to whisper. Don't let that drag you down. You let those folks go on and whisper. You know something we shared in the 23rd Psalm this week at Rowlett's Baptist Church? We saw in the 23rd Psalm that God was saying something. He said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Do you know what that means? Those people that are whispering behind your back, those people that are going behind your back and saying things about you and the way that you're trying to live, do you know what's going to eventually happen? If you continue to walk in God's path, if you continue to do the things that God has asked you to do, then one day those enemies of God's people, those people who are slanderers and backbiters and murmurers, one day they're going to have to sit there on the seat of their judgment, and they're going to have to watch you as you sit down at the table of the Lord Jesus Christ and you share that wonderful great supper that God is preparing with you. I'll tell you, friends, it's a wonderful thing to know that one day all of God's enemies will be made a footstool, and all of God's enemies are going to find themselves coming up to nothing. And God said that His vengeance is His. And so you just trust in the Lord. You just continue to follow Him. You just continue to make little of all those people that are trying to run you down. And you hold fast to God's unchanging hand. And one sweet day, we're going to sit in glory at the Master's table. And when He says to us, "Come and dine," then we shall answer. Now, I don't want to stop there. I've got to finish now. Then Hanun took David's servants and he shaved off half their beards. And he cut off their garments so that their behinds showed as they were walking away. Now, I know that we and you might find a little humor in that. You can imagine coming upon some men that had half their beards shaved, had the back of their pants cut out. How embarrassing that would be. How shameful that would be. But I tell you, friends, today, in that day, that would have been an outright declaration of war. And David would have known, and the people of Ammon would have known, that they had done nothing more than say, "We have defied Israel and we're declaring war against the people of God." Now, I like what David did in verses 5 and 6. David knew these men were greatly ashamed and embarrassed. And so David did what a good king ought to do. He told them to wait there at another city until their beards grew back and they could find some clothes. And that way they wouldn't have to enter back into the city of Jerusalem in embarrassment and shame. Do you know something that we have done, that we have failed as a church? We have failed as a church to comfort those who are embarrassed and ashamed. Listen, folks, none of us have lived a perfect life. None of us have done as we ought to, and there's been times in our lives that we've come across shame, we've been embarrassed, and I'll tell you where the church has failed. The God's people too often, instead of telling people to wait and trying to comfort them and trying to find ways to help them through that embarrassment and that shame, have done nothing more than what the rest of the world does, and that's run them down and drag their name further through the dirt. That is not what Jesus Christ expected of His church. That's not what's expected of a person that has been born again. We are not to drag each other down. We are not to talk bad behind each other's back, but we're to edify and encourage and exhort one another. Friends, listen to me. If the Christians don't start standing up for one another, then the world is going to win a great victory. Why do you think it is that Satan has stole the shout out of a lot of congregations? It's because that congregation is so focused upon backbiting and getting their own way than they are on focused in getting Jesus back in the church and having the Holy Spirit to be first and foremost in the church today. We do not have time to battle one another. We must battle sin and Satan that we might see others come to salvation. Oh, friends, King David made a great move right there. I bet that won the affection of those men. And I bet after that, those men became some of the most faithful followers. Let me ask you something. Did Christ put in the newspaper every sin that He forgave you of? Was it broadcast on WBKO, everything that you'd ever done wrong and that God had to forgive you of? No, it wasn't. Yet Christ forgave you. Oh, how wonderful it is to serve a forgiving King and one that has compassion. Now, when the people of Ammon realized they'd offended Israel in this way, they gathered together some mercenaries. They went out into Syria. And from three large cities there in Syria, they brung in a horde of men, a horde of mercenaries in order to do their battle with them. Now, David admonished Joab, who was the commander of the mighty men, to take a whole army of Israelites and march upon that city, march upon the city of Ammon, and to take it for Israel's sake, to take this declaration of war and to meet it head on. And as Joab and his brother Abishai were making their way up this valley, if you would do a geographical study of the city of Ammon, you would notice that it was up in the head of a great valley. And on either side of that valley, there would have been a mountainous terrain. And those people would have found a safety in that. You could only attack that city from one direction. Now, as the children of Israel made their way up that valley in order to attack that city, that they might rectify the evil that had been done to the representatives of King David, then they found themselves quickly being closed upon from behind by those Syrian mercenaries. And they would have found themselves not only facing a battle to the front, but facing a battle to the back. And that's when Joab looked around and he decided he'd take some of Israel's choicest warriors, some of Israel's finest warriors, and he'd fight the battle to the front. He'd fight the battle in front of him there with the city of Ammon. He took Abishai, his brother. He said, "Brother, I'm going to give you the rest of the army. I want you to fight behind us." I want you to realize something today. It is a wonderful thing to have a brother that you can rely on. Joab had Abishai. And while these two men were certainly not pillars of the Old Testament, they certainly weren't always found doing the right thing. They certainly always weren't found being the most honorable prophets of God. I see in them a relationship of trust and joy. And I pray that you have a brother or a sister in your life where you can find the little peace and a little quiet. You can have somebody to speak with. You can have somebody to talk to. Somebody, now watch this, that you can trust to fight at your back. If you got somebody in your life you can trust to watch your back, we all must have somebody. Listen, if you're a Christian today, there's another Christian out there that's willing to watch your back. You've got somebody that loves you. You've got somebody that cares for you. You've got somebody that's willing to do anything it takes in order to help you. All you have to do is ask, and that's where we so often fail. Many people today are suffering in silence. They suffer in silence, and the only reason they're suffering is because they won't ask. And people are there willing to help, willing to pray, willing to do whatever it takes, and still they suffer in silence. Don't do that. Don't allow yourself to fall into that. Remember that Christ not only saved others, but they saved them for purpose. And somebody else's purpose might just be to be the shoulder that you can lean on. Friend, listen, Joab and Abishai, and we've got each other as well. Not only that, but when you admonish other people to pray for you, don't forget to pray for yourself. For while I might be able to help you, I might be able to put food on your table, I might be able to mow your yard for you, I might be able to do a lot of good things, I cannot accomplish what the Holy Spirit can. And neither can you. And so don't forget about the greatest resource that God has ever given anybody that ever walked. And that's an empowering of the Holy Spirit of God. Friend, that's where you'll find your greatest help. Now, before these armies are separated, Joab, we're getting to verse 12 now, as I'm about to close. We're getting to verse 12, and I want you to realize something right here. That Joab gathered up these people that are about to fight a battle on two fronts, and oh, how hard that is. Joab made this amazing statement in 2 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 12. He says this. I believe this was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Be of good courage, and let us be strong for our people and for the cities of our God. And may the Lord do what is good in His sight. Christian, listen to me. Your church, your family, your community, your state, your nation desperately need you to be strong and full of courage. This message today is for those that have been born again. Christ needs you to start doing what He intended for the church to do. He needs people that are willing to be strong and courageous. People that are willing to stand in the stream of sin and vulgarity that's flowing out from every edifice in this world today. The world as it is today is making a great march against God and His people. We need people today to stand and be courageous and to be brave and to be strong and to say, we will not allow this to continue. We will take a stand in the voting polls. We'll take a stand in our homes. We're going to take a stand in the factories and in the grocery stores. We are going to take a stand, and we're going to say, as Joshua did in his day, in this generation, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we will make a difference in the lives of the people around us. And that's my prayer for you today, that you might be encouraged and edified to find true strength and true bravery based on what God has put within you. That the kingdom of God might benefit because you have been born again. Will you close with me in a word of prayer? Father God, I pray that you might even now begin to raise up mighty warriors all around us. Father, men and women, boys and girls that have been bought by the blood of Jesus today can have an impact, and they can turn the tide today. Father, I pray that you might bless all those that have been listening, dear Lord, and those that Father, are hurting today. I pray that you strengthen them. Those, dear Father, that are looking for an answer to their prayers, I pray that you might give it within their hearts today, that they might be able to acknowledge you and glorify you. And for today, dear God, it's all about you. It's all about your name. Thank you today, dear God, for all the blessings of life. Thank you today, dear God, for Christ's blood shed on the cross of Calvary that frees us from our sins. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray these things. Amen. God bless you, friend, from Rallets Baptist Church.